This is the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. I want to remind you, you can join conversations when they're live, and this one will be online, actually on the radio, either place, at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. The news often features stories about drug prices being raised, and raised sharply. Drug companies often point to the large amount of money they put into research and development, but there's more to the story than that. So it surprises no one when legislators make noises about placing restrictions on drug price hikes, which they did in Salem again in the legislative session recently completed. The Oregon legislature did not pass a law restricting the price hikes themselves, but legislators did pass a law requiring some advance notice and explanation of the hikes when they happen. It passed both houses easily. Senator Dennis Linthicum is from District 28 from Klamath Falls. His district is including parts of Jackson, Klamath, Lake, Deschutes, and Crook County. Senator Linthicum, welcome back to the Exchange.
Very good, Jeffrey. Thanks for having me on this morning.
So what was your own interest in this legislation? This is not an area I think you'd normally necessarily favor a law like this.
Right. Last year, there was a price capping bill that I was not in favor of. This bill is not a capping bill. It is just, if you will, a surgical strike demanding transparency. More than anyone else in the legislature, I think I can claim to be a true believer in free markets. And I realize that innovation in the pharmaceutical industry has led to vast increases in the quality of healthcare that's delivered. But at the same time, we see prices going up and up and up. And I actually think that part of the government programs that we have instituted under ACA and even Medicare Part D going back nearly 10 years, or actually closer to 15, those proposals and their implications to consumers have been very detrimental, because we've removed the consumer from the process of knowing what prices are, being able to make a choice based on price, and being kind of the sovereign in charge of their own health and life issues. So this is simply demanding from manufacturers things like marketing costs, distribution costs, ongoing effectiveness for research, and what are the implications to prices for the consumer? That's the bottom line.
I'm curious, when you mention ACA, the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, and Medicare Part D, the drug benefit, came into being within the last two decades, and one of the strictures at its birth was that the federal government could not negotiate with drug companies, which is something of a market interference itself, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think that's a big problem. That's crony capitalism at its worst. When you take the world's largest purchaser of consumer pharmaceuticals and say, oh, and by the way, we'll just set the price and you won't negotiate with us now, will you? Wink, wink, nod, nod. And so that set up a precedent that is very dangerous. And then there were other things that were instituted under the Obama administration. And let me back up a half second. You, for example, said, how did you get involved in this? And I don't pretend to be unbiased. I have a very, aggressive self-interest in this for myself and my daughter. We are both insulin-dependent diabetics. So I've been injecting insulin to keep myself alive for 45 years, and my daughter has been doing the same for approaching 20 years. And prices for insulin in my lifetime have gone from $15 back when it came from cows and equestrian and bovine and porcine insulin products to the new analog products that were $30 a vial. Today, that same vial is $330. That's 11-fold increase in the past 15 years. And that 11-fold increase is just unfathomable. Imagine a new 5-year-old or 10-year-old diabetic that comes under insulin care today. What will insulin look like in her lifetime if we don't get a handle on these price increases?
Senator Dennis Linthicum, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, we're talking about the Oregon legislature's recent move that involved passing legislation to require some advance notice and explanation of drug price hikes in House Bill 4005. You can join the conversation on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about drug prices and where you think there should be further regulation on them. If this is enough or you think there needs to go further, let's hear from you at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Particularly, Senator, as relates to insulin, it's not like there's a great deal of new technology going on there, right? I mean, we know what it is. We know where to get it. So why did the price go up that high? Do we know?
Well, that's part of what we're asking the questions for. Look, at if this has been through innovation, it's been through, plant and equipment investment and returns on those investments and whatever, that certainly you could justify that. However, if it's simply been an increase in the profit margin for the insulin manufacturers, then at some point the public has the right to know that. And then you have to ask, why are these prices across the three major insulin providers, why are they going up as stepwise? They're not in competition with each other. They're all marching to the same tune. And when I refer to the ACA had a special section titled 21, Part 203, Section 203.10, which restricted what they called the reimportation of insulin. At the time in the year 2000, I was purchasing insulin from Canada for $30, and in the United States, it was $150. That was then outlawed, and FedEx, both FedEx and UPS, got brought under a lawsuit for transporting, quote, illegal pharmaceuticals across the Canadian border. And they were multi-million, $25 and $50 million fines against those companies for simply bringing insulin to consumers like myself across the U.S. So what happened in Obamacare is it became insulin-dependent diabetics became fish in the barrel, and it's easy, very easy for the pharmaceutical firms to take advantage of that sort of monopoly power.
So I'm amazed that you sounds like you've actually read the Affordable Care Act.
Well, I certainly, you can't read it word for word and stay awake, but there are certainly, you can, it's easy to do keyword searches and look for things that you're interested in following through. So when you start following through, you see little threads and then you go elsewhere and one thing leads to another as you try and plow your way through. So it's important to see what's happening at the federal level. What we've done, unfortunately, is we've removed the consumer as a decision maker, and we're now relying on, quote, the professionals, and we've removed the consumer so the consumer doesn't care what, when you go to the hospital and it's $1,000 to set your child's broken arm because they fell off the swing, you don't think a thing about it. You pay your copay if you have insurance. And, for $30, that wasn't a bad visit, and you get some x-rays, and it's a great learning experience. In the old days, there would be some sort of camp to that. There would be a method for keeping it down, i.e. doctor on Main Street versus doctor downtown versus doctor in your neighborhood, et cetera. And we've eliminated that. So the consumer is no longer the sovereign when it comes to making their choices, and therefore prices just keep escalating beyond control. The U.S. spends more money than other countries around the world with regard to healthcare costs. Specifically, they spend about 17% of the budget on pharmaceuticals. So Oregon decided to focus on pharmaceuticals first.
Senator Dennis Linthicum, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about drug prices and recent efforts by the Oregon legislature to at least provide transparency when those prices are raised. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 with your thoughts, your comments, your own particular experiences with high drug prices. We're welcoming those stories as well. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So the original legislation considered and not advanced last year was Representative Bob Nossi's idea to actually regulate the prices of the drugs. That stalled out, I assume, because a lot of people feel as you do about the free markets in the legislature?
Yeah. At some point, the representative nor myself know nothing about what the appropriate price for insulin should be, or any pharmaceutical. It doesn't even matter which pharmaceutical product we're naming, and there are thousands of them, literally thousands of them. You and I have no clue what that price should be. So what we're simply saying is, look, we don't mind your price increase if you can justify it. And justification would include, research and development, length of time for return on investment, factors that contributed to the price increase like manufacturing costs, marketing, distribution costs, safety and effectiveness, and research costs. All of those things certainly would warrant a return on investment. It's the profit margin side of the equation that we really want to take focus on in terms of our effort for transparency this time, rather than pretending the government knows best what the price of any product ought to be.
So the company is supposed to give advance notice before it raises a price and to tell you what decisions went into the raising of the price, but there's nothing in there to stop the price increase. Is that correct?
That's correct. But this is where the public plays a very important role. Once we see price increases and fuzzy justification, if you will, justification that doesn't seem to hold water and simply showing profit margins, going one way and product development staying idle. The insulin products that we were referring to have been on the market for 30 years. So there's not innovation going on in regard to research and development. The product is just coming out of the same factory assembly manufacturing floor that it's always been coming out of. Why in the same 30 years has the price gone from $30 to $330? And so what we're doing is we're asking the question, why?
So now, if the company doesn't provide the information, there can be fines for not giving it. Is that right? How much?
I don't remember the fine off the top of my head, but yes, there has to be some teeth in this. There's got to be an enforcement feature so that we get compliance, because what we're really interested in doing is helping the consumer understand where their premiums and healthcare taxes are going. Like I mentioned a half a second ago, the U.S. spends more than any other high-income country, about 17%, which is $370 billion annually on prescription pharmaceutical drugs. So nearly $400 billion. This is a giant number. And what we're asking in Oregon is that we start to see some transparency so people understand the whys and wherefores of their premiums and what healthcare taxes will look like in their lifetimes.
Senator, I did get a chance to dig up the information. The fines could be up to $10,000 per day per violation. It seems like, though, if you're making huge amounts of money selling the pills at the new price, that might be well more than enough to offset these fines.
Well, I started referring to a second ago, this is why we need people to be involved. We need people when they see, fine on day one, day two, day three, day 65, day 218, and they realize that when they purchase their products at $330 a dose or a vial or whatever, that they're paying a fine to the state of Oregon, and it's now added up to, $2,180,000 so far this year, that they'll start to say, fat chance, I'm not going to put up with this anymore, and then one thing will lead to another. Right now, we don't have any visibility. We don't know if those price increases are justified. Certainly the insurance companies knows how their pricing structure looks. They know what their formularies look like. They know PMBs are also involved in here. There's rebates and credits and discounts flying back and forth among pharmaceutical manufacturers and prescribed benefit managers, that's a PBM, and the formularies that get built by insurers. All of these players are involved. This is the first crack at manufacturing. The other entities will come under task. If you'll notice in the legislation, the bottom part of the bill is to create a task force to review all of the players and see where price increases are happening most often.
So then that leads to two other questions. One, are you thinking that this might lead to eventual regulation of the prices themselves? And two, do you have any doubt that the pharmaceutical industry might file suit against this?
They certainly alluded to filing suit, but the key is we're not regulating them in any way other than asking for transparency. So I think that's a winnable battle for the state of Oregon. I think we're simply asking them to keep us informed. When you go to buy a car, you're the guy who walks in with your checkbook or your loan paperwork or whatever and says, I'd like to buy this car. What kind of discount can I get? What specials can I get? Is there maintenance offered with it, et cetera? And you go through negotiations and you decide, no, thanks, I don't want that car. I'm going down the street. We don't have that in the pharmaceutical or medical industry anymore. You're no longer the decision maker. And I think that's why I struggle with price controls. Is now the state is the decision maker, and we could see legislation very much like what happened in Medicare Part D that you referred to, where we write a law or a statute or a rule within the government entity that says, oh, and by the way, we're no longer going to compete based on price. And that's a death knell to the poor consumer and his own wallet.
Senator, we have a little less than a minute left. Richard Notown given dropped off a comment to say he approves of your work. Wants to know if you've heard of Margaret Flowers, a Green Party candidate for several different offices. She has an idea about a nationalized drug market. Is there any appeal there for you?
I'm not familiar with it, so I can't really say what that looks like. I think what we really need is we need consumers, we need individuals, we need health care to take place within the heart, soul, and mind of the individual. They've got to be responsible for the decisions that they make and the choices that they take with regard to providing health care for themselves and their family.
All right. House Bill 4005 passed the Senate with the vote of Dennis Linthicum from District 28 in Klamath Falls, 25-4. So obviously one person wasn't there that day. Senator Linthicum's district, District 28, includes Jackson Klamath or parts of Jackson Klamath Lake, Deschutes, and Crook County. Senator Linthicum, good to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's a great conversation to have.
All right. Take it easy.